Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. This is your host, Cindy Sheehan, and you're listening at CindySheehanSoapbox.com. Well, our special guest today is Code Pink and Palestinian rights activist Ray Abalaya. Ray was arrested in the gallery of our nation's capital, exercising her First Amendment rights as a citizen of the United States. She was arrested because she courageously interrupted Prime Minister of Israel Benjamin Netanyahu's speech in front of an adoring Congress. Ray Abalaya, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Thanks so much for having me on, Cindy.
Well, I think most of my listeners have probably already, you know, heard what happened to you up on Capitol Hill this past week. And first of all, I just want to ask, how are you doing? Because we heard that you were injured in the arrest, or injured in the arrest, or after what happened to you in the Capitol.
Yeah, so thanks so much for asking. I'm recuperating. I have a neck sprain, and the reason for that is that I stood up and disrupted Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu when he was addressing Congress on Tuesday morning in the Capitol. And when I stood up and unfurled a banner and said, no more occupation, equal rights for Palestinians, stop Israeli war crimes, I was tackled by members of the audience who were sitting next to me who had received their tickets from Congress members directly. And
right.
They apparently thought that, you know, the Capitol Police in the sanctuary of our nation's capital wasn't good enough to handle my peaceful protest and took matters in their own hands and became vigilantes and
wow.
And kind of pummeled me to the ground. So the cops took me in an ambulance to the ER, and I was treated for neck sprain and shoulder wound, and then I was arrested from my hospital bed and taken back to the court, to the jailhouse, after I was released from the hospital.
How long were you in? I assume you were in the Capitol Hill Police jail. How long were you in jail?
I got out on Tuesday night, so I was there long enough for them to take a bureaucratically long time to book me and then release me. And I have a court date coming up next month to be arraigned. I was charged with disorderly conduct for disrupting Congress. And unfortunately, the men who assaulted me were not charged with anything. And I think that's criminal, especially, you know, in what's supposed to be one of the safest places in the country, right? Like right in the heart of the Capitol, to be able to beat a woman like that just seems completely outrageous.
Well, also, could you file a complaint against them?
Yeah, I am intending on pressing charges.
Do you know who they were?
No, I don't. You know, what I think is important to stress here is that, you know, the injury that I experienced in this kind of violent attack on dissent and on peaceful protest is just a microcosm of what Palestinian people are going through all the time, every day. And Palestinian and Israeli nonviolent activists are repeatedly being jailed and assaulted and held in prison without fair trial. These are the kind of policies that our government is backing with our tax dollars.
Well, and also Netanyahu's speech to Congress was certainly hostile and arrogant, but he was welcomed very warmly by our senators and our congresspeople. And you obviously went into the Capitol with the intent of unfurling your banner. Was there a point in his speech that you did it, or did you just wait for a good time to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I was firstly appalled at how many standing ovations when Netanyahu was getting, even in the first few sentences when he said, Israel is America's best friend and America is Israel's best friend, and was very, very chummy with his audience of elected officials. But my cue was really when he started talking about praising the young people throughout the Middle East who have been rising up for democracy. And so I stood up as a young person to speak out against Israel's undemocratic policies. And I think it's so tremendous that there's been all these great social movements throughout the Middle East. And I'm in solidarity with those movements and calling out Israel as being such a hypocrite.
Well,
and I think after I was dragged out, Netanyahu made this comment, you know, isn't it wonderful that we live in this free democracy? You couldn't get away with this in Tehran or in Tripoli, which is just so incredibly sarcastic. It's unimaginable.
Well, not only sarcastic, but hypocritical, because weren't many Palestinians just killed when they were peacefully protesting the Nakba recently?
Yeah,
and they weren't even violent protesters. They were peacefully protesting, and they were killed by Israeli soldiers.
Right, yeah. And, you know, having Jewish-only roads, having checkpoints, having the separation wall, keeping Gaza under lock and key and a stranglehold and a siege, you know, all these things are very undemocratic. And, you know, in this country, people, we fought a civil rights fight to, you know, show that separate but equal is inherently unequal. And the government in Israel doesn't yet get that.
Well, as somebody who, you are a young Jewish woman, so nobody can accuse you of being anti-Semitic, but you have been working really hard, I know, on this cause, and you've been trying to break the blockade of Gaza. And what's your reaction to Egypt opening the Rafah crossing?
I think it's really exciting that to see the new Egyptian government taking some steps towards opening the border and trying to break the stranglehold on Gaza, letting people go out and letting supplies and people go in. There's the Gaza Freedom Flotilla, the next one that's going to be leaving next month from Europe and trying to break the siege by water and deliver letters to Gaza from people around the world. Listeners can send their letters in to be delivered via the U.S. boat to Gaza called the Audacity of Hope. And so there's a lot of work still to be done to, you know, break the siege on the water side and also on the Israeli side. And we'll see what happens as the Egyptian government evolves and a new nation is birthed there. And I would just say around being Jewish and doing this work that it's really amazing the amount of support I've received since taking a stand inside the Capitol from Jews around the world saying, thank you for saying what I'm afraid to say or can't say, or thank you for speaking out for me. I think there's a lot of, like, culture of silence and fear that exists in the Jewish community around speaking out about this. And we can't be afraid to speak out about it because it's completely against the ethics and principles of our religion, what's happening in Israel at the hands of the Israeli government and military.
And I also recently read where Israel is cracking down on Jewish peace activists in Israel also, but then Netanyahu is saying that they support freedom of speech.
Right. I mean, that's the bitter irony. They've had more and more laws that the Israeli government, the Knesset, has passed that make it very difficult for Israeli activists to nonviolently demonstrate. We work closely at Code Pink with the Coalition of Women for Peace in Israel, and they, one of their member groups, Who Profits, does a lot of great work providing information and resources on corporations that are profiting from the illegal occupation of the West Bank. And there's a new law that is in the works being passed now that would make providing that kind of information illegal under Israeli law. Which is, in other words, aiding and abetting the boycott and divestment movement around the world. And there's this tremendous crackdown. It's, as you brought up, around commemorating the Nakba, commemorating the day that Palestinians were thrown from their homes in 1948 and exiled as refugees. That just commemorating the Nakba has been made illegal in Israel.
Well, also our own activists in the United States, especially in the Minneapolis, Chicago area, are being persecuted by our State Department, and these people do activism around Palestine and South American issues.
Right. This is also a huge issue, is the crackdown of our own government on nonviolent, peaceful protesters. And I think it's so important that we all know our rights and know what to do if the FBI were ever to come knocking on our door. And I believe that there was recently a settlement that the FBI had to pay out to some of the things that have happened in Minneapolis and Star NC.
Well, they're still fighting, yeah, and the people who are, I was just in Minneapolis, and they're still fighting with the Department of Justice around these cases. And actually, they didn't do anything that many of us, you and I, or people on the phone listening to the interview have done, and they're being horribly persecuted by our department, by Obama's Department of Justice.
It's absolutely crazy. You know, I think a lot of us expected more out of President Obama, but, you know, with him renewing the Patriot Act and continuing to persecute peaceful people in the U.S., it's definitely frustrating.
Well, Ray, let me ask you just a logistical question, because I have been protesting a lot in Washington, D.C., and I tried to sneak a banner in one time, and they took it away from me. How did you get a banner in?
Well, I had my ways.
You're not going to divulge your secrets. How did you get into the gallery?
A friend gave me a ticket, which was given to her by a congresswoman for special events where a joint session of Congress comes together to hear a head of state. The gallery is reserved only for Congress people, and they each get one ticket to give away to a constituent. And I was shocked that the gallery almost entirely was covered with suited men who were wearing their badges from the AIPAC conference, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee,
right,
one of the largest Israel lobby groups in the U.S., that was having its annual policy conference in D.C. right around the time of Netanyahu's visit. And you could just tell the connection to power, you know, that these AIPAC lobbyists helped to direct a large amount of campaign contributions to candidates, and in turn making the candidates indebted to them on positions related to Israel. And it's sickening, because it's, you know, it's not how a democracy should be running. I just saw it firsthand sitting in the Capitol in that room.
Well, Ray, you then showed an amazing amount of courage to do what you did, surrounded by people hostile to your message. And do you have like a legal defense fund or any way that my listeners could get a hold of you?
Definitely. If folks want to donate to support covering legal and medical expenses, you can go online to codepink.org, and there's a donation page there. You can also reach me at Ray, that's R-A-E, at codepink.org, and I'd be happy to hear from listeners. And I would also like to say, Cindy, that when I was sitting in the Capitol in the gallery, I was channeling your courage and wisdom, because I remember you going in to hear the State of the Union address and wearing your T-shirt, and even the T-shirt was not allowed in.
Right.
It was so outrageous. That was the epitome of lack of freedom of speech in the center of our government.
Well, I didn't even get a chance to take my jacket off before I got arrested. So I really, because I know what you were going through, and I really admire you for standing up for the Palestinian people and for standing up for free speech. And I hope you continue to heal and just, you know, are able to continue your activism and have a good time in New York. And hopefully we'll see you back in the Bay Area.
I look forward to coming back to the Bay and continuing to be active in the amazing local movement. And I hope more folks that have heard about this action will get engaged and get involved in the local campaigns for boycott and divestment, to support the flotilla and keep the pressure on our Congress.
Well, Ray Abalea, thank you so much for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
Thanks so much for having me on, Cindy.
That was Ray Abalea. Well, this coming up week, Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox is going to be commemorating a very special anniversary. It's going to be our 100th show. We've struggled. We've had our challenges. We've had our victories, like when we interviewed President Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, and when we interviewed Yoko Ono, an amazing peace activist. We've had almost 100 really wonderful, incredible, challenging educational shows. And we're very excited to announce that Next Sunday, we will be presenting our 100th show. And our very special guest will be actress, comedian, and peace activist, mother and grandmother, Roseanne Barr. So we hope you tune in next week. Well, as I'm recording this, I'm going to be heading off to Caracas, Venezuela, to stand in solidarity with the people of Venezuela as the U.S. is placing economic sanctions on that country. And what's so scary about that is that economic sanctions, I believe, are an act of hostility. They're an act of war, along with the U.S. imposing a no-fly zone on Libya to protect civilians that has turned into killing civilians. As this past week, my dear friend Cynthia McKinney was in Tripoli being bombed by U.S. and NATO bombs on that city that's targeting civilians. So I'll report back to you next week. Hopefully we can get Cynthia on the line along with Roseanne Barr to tell about her experience in Libya. So you've been listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I hope you listen next week. This was our 99th show. Next week will be our 100th show that we're very excited about. As always, I'd like to thank the three people that have hung in with us all this time, my engineer, Scott Cuddy, my webmaster, Rich Bowser, my producer, Mikey, and you for hanging in and listening to us for 100 incredible shows. I'm Cindy Sheehan, and we'll talk to you next week. Peace.
I must make my witness. Have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. Dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes. As if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Right now, go stick your head out and yell and keep yelling, I'm as mad. affect us anymore. Just get up from your chairs.
They're yelling in Baton Rouge.